flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
It's 5 o'clock.
Mahomes steps up, throws, and he got it!
This is Conference Championship Week with Isaac and Sue.
Brought to you by Smartline Home Design, a trusted local architectural design studio ready to bring your dream home to life. Visit smartlinehomedesign.com.
Primetime with Isaac and Sue on 1080.
Touchdown, Kelsey!
The Fan.
All right, welcome back. Hope you're having a nice little Friday. Rob here, Sue out. He'll be back Monday. Hello.
Sada.
Ryan Buckley is here. We've got Joey Harrington coming up in about 20 minutes.
Well, hello there.
Find out who he wants in the Super Bowl. Coming up tonight in the club, you know, I just thought of something. We were talking about the lottery, and I want to run something by you. I have an idea, because we were talking about the lottery ticket, the Powerball jackpot ticket being pulled at the Fred Meyer in Beaverton, and if one of the fan personalities won $350 million or whatever it is, would they take care of, and again, it's not, I mean, you don't give millions to each fan personality, but would they, you know, kick a little something down to all the other fan personalities? And that got me thinking about a way, a thoughtful way to kick down some money to your bros if you win the lottery.
Okay.
But I also think it could be construed as rude. So I want to see what you guys think about it.
Okay. I'm intrigued because, I mean, we were talking about this, like, where do you draw the line? How much do you kick down? How do you do it essentially the right way? You want to do something nice. You don't want people to feel, it's surprisingly nuanced for just giving away
money.
It
is, and you got to get your ducks in a row, and you got to draw a line, but you figure all that out ahead of time, and then you, I don't know, we'll talk about it in the club, okay?
Okay.
6-7. Right now, the hot 5-5.
Hot topics, hot opinions.
Oh, golly, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
That's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 with Isaac and Sue. Brought to you on The Fan by Victorico's Mexican Food. Discover Victorico's new savory menu items. Order in-store, online, or get it delivered straight to your door at victorico's.com.
I got something on.
Number five. Number five.
Round 3 Farmers Insurance Open. They are at Torrey Pines in San Diego. Much more pleasant today than the windy day that was yesterday. Harris English is your new leader. He is 9-under. He leads by 1 over Andrew Novak. It is great because Buck is starting to hate Ludvig Åberg.
Yeah.
Because he has dropped almost out of the top 10
now. Yep.
And you hate him because he was leading and now he sucks.
That's right. Yeah, I thought he was a bright young star with lots of promise. Now I think he's kind of a punk.
This is what gambling does to you.
Yes.
Final round is tomorrow, as they don't want to conflict with the NFL on Sunday. And one other note about Torrey Pines is they're going to host the Genesis Tiger Woods tournament from L.A. Next month, obviously moved due to the wildfires. Novak Djokovic had to pull out of the Australian Open semis. He tore a muscle in his leg, and everybody was booing him. Crazy.
Yeah, so I watched this go down. It was really weird because it was a fierce first set. It went to a tie break. It was 6-6 between him and Zverev, and it was really hotly contested. And you're like, oh, man, let's settle in. This is going to be a great match. But apparently the muscle tear was really bad. I guess he said if he won the set, he would have tried to go further. But after that, he's like, nah, I'm not winning three sets after this.
They were booing him. Boo. He pulled a muscle. Or, I mean, tore
a muscle.
Tore a muscle. Come on, man.
And it might be his last Australian Open. They booed him off the court for the final time.
So Alexander Zverev advances to the final. He'll meet top seed Jannik Sinner. Blazers in Charlotte. Hornets up at the half, 54-50. The city of Las Vegas has been awarded the college football playoff championship game for 2027. That game will be January 25th. Next season, they're in Miami. Also, Ohio State running back Quinshon Judkins is leaving for the NFL draft. Mel Kiper has him the fifth best running back in the upcoming draft.
Number 3.
The Bills have ruled safety Taylor Rapp out against the Chiefs on Sunday due to injury.
So close to Rapp.
I know. I kind of like saying that. Rapp. Rapp. Rookie Cole Bishop, second-round pick out of Utah, will get the start. He has started 4 games this year. Buffalo's defense has other injuries, but all are expected to play. Matt Milano, Teron Johnson, and cornerback Christian Benford, who is in concussion protocol, but they say that he'll be out there. Because, you know, this time of year, concussions don't hold the kids back, do they,
Buckley? It wouldn't seem so, no. Neither do other injuries. I mean, people were saying it looked like Jalen Hurts was hopped up on some stuff at the end of last game with the knee injury and all that.
No, oh,
doing
sure.
Post-game interviews, and he looked a little bit glassed over.
They got the tent now. You can't even see what they're putting in him.
Shoot him up. Load him up. Away we go.
Number two.
Liam Cohen backed out of the running for the Jags job last week. Then they fired their GM. Now Liam Cohen is the Jags coach. He is the former Tampa Bay offensive coordinator. He gets to pick his own GM, and they've offered him a deal commiserate with Ben Johnson's in Chicago, which is $13 million per season. Crazy. Surprise move here. Texans have fired offensive coordinator Bobby Slowick. He goes from getting head coaching interest last year to out of a job.
Yeah, I was reading something that he kind of got hosed a little bit. He took the San Francisco 49ers offense with him to Houston, and then I believe they changed GM and personnel. It was an offense predicated on using the fullback. They said, we're getting rid of our fullback. We're going to a third wide receiver. And he's like, well, great. That's not really what I do.
In Houston you're talking about? Okay. Well, bad fit then.
Yeah, or just that they hired him to do one thing, and then they made a bunch of changes, and they're like, you're not good at doing the thing that we now want you to do, which wasn't the same thing we wanted you to do before.
Mm-hmm. Or he could just be the scapegoat for a regressing offense.
Also possible.
Or he might not be that good.
Also possible.
Number one
today, 73-year-old Pete Carroll has agreed to be the new head coach of the Las Vegas Raiders. 3-year deal, team option for a 4th year. He is their 5th coach, including interims, since they moved to Vegas in 2020. Tom Brady and company, they're hoping his experience gels with rookie GM John Spytek. So that leaves 2 NFL head coaching vacancies that are unfilled, the Saints and the Cowboys.
It's amazing that the Cowboys are one of the 2 jobs still left.
What if they hire Mike McCarthy?
Somebody on the YouTube says it's their theory that Jerry Jones is just trying to find leaks in the building, and so he's throwing out names like Schottenheimer, trying to see who says what.
Possible. There's your Hot 5 at 5. It's brought to you by Victor Rico's Mexican Food, a hit with the whole family. Order in-store, online, or delivered to your door at victorricos.com. When you think of flavor, think of Victor Rico's. The ACC is getting radical. And then Joey Harrington joins us coming up on The Fan. Okay, we'll talk turnovers with Joey Harrington coming up next. We'll find out who he thinks will be playing in the super big game. I said earlier, I think it's going to be the Chiefs and Eagles.
I would agree with that.
That's what you're going with, too? Okay. We didn't get Sook's picks before he left, did we?
No. I think he's pretty sure that the Eagles are going, but I don't know about what he thinks about.
Yeah, he takes giant dumps on the commies, doesn't he?
I think he's impressed with that they've gotten to this point, but he does not believe that they are of the same caliber team as the Eagles.
Well, what was I going to tell you? Oh, Joe Fisher is in. Fan personality Joe Fisher. He texted us and he said that none of us would be getting S if he won the lottery.
Well, now it looks like one less person for us to take care of when one of us wins.
No, I would kick down a little something.
So
to Joe
even
Fisher.
Though he says you get nothing from yes. me, you're yes. still giving something to him. Okay.
Well, because I think that, and I think Suk would agree with this. Suk and I, we're the old guys. We're the elder statesmen. We're at a little different place in life. I would not expect young Joe Fisher, who's
with $332 million to do something nice for you?
No, I really wouldn't.
Even if you were going to do something nice for him?
Yes.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, I don't think anybody on the fan staff would expect money from Suk or I if we won the lottery.
No.
But I'm just telling you that from me, you guys would probably get it.
I love that you're painting yourself as a hypothetical white knight. It's really nice.
Well, I think I would. I don't know. I think it would be cool. I care about the station. I don't really care about
Trust
you guys.
Trust me, if this great thing happened, I'd be the greatest guy.
Well, I told you, I think Suk would too. But I just am saying that I don't think that I would expect anything from you younger guys. And then maybe that's why you're saying that you're a tightwad, you know? Maybe that's why.
that's what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. No, I said I would take care of you guys. I said I would take care of our show.
Oh, you would you?
That's
well,
what
thanks.
I said.
I
said I don't know. I'm like, I brought up that I don't think I've seen the faces of Dirt and Sprague in years. And as much as I like those guys, I don't think I'm blindly just kicking them six figures.
Sometimes it's just nice to do things for others.
Of course it is.
You big jerk.
But then by that logic, then why wouldn't I give that money, that six figures, to someone who really needs it, that's dealing with, you know, medical bills or
they're not in your life. These other people are. We're bonded by the fan. We are joined by the...
And I'm supposed to feel an obligation because of that? That is what the corporate overlords want you to think.
I didn't say you had that. I just said I feel that.
Okay, well then...
It's not an obligation. I just trying to be nice.
I'm corporate brainwashed.
God, you're a D. Anyway, before we get to Joseph, the ACC, their commissioner, Jim Phillips, came out Sunday.
Oh, what'd Jimbo have to say?
Well, Jimmy, he says that they are considering making changes to their conference championship game format. So I will ask you, what changes could a conference make to their championship game format? On the fan. I mean, what would you change? Like, how do you change the format of a conference championship game?
I'm stumped here. I don't.
Right?
You're not changing the teams that are involved. You're changing the format of the game.
Well, no. They're talking about. So this is a result of the expanded playoffs.
It's going to be like some mini tournament or something, or like, what are we talking about here?
Well, SMU made the ACC championship game and lost to Clemson, right?
Right.
So then SMU had to sweat out.
Right. They almost didn't get in. If they hadn't come back late and made it a close game, they might not have.
Yeah. So what they're considering now is Phillips said the ACC will be considering giving its regular season champion a bye and have the teams that finish second or third in the league standings play in the ACC championship game.
Okay. So this goes into the claim that the committee is not going to punish a team for losing in the final. They're like, well, we'll make absolutely sure of that then. Our champion won't play in the final.
That's right.
They will not take a loss.
That's what they're talking about.
So now you're going to have to crown a second place champion and then also let the first champ, the regular season champion,
like,
too?
Yeah, like, I don't
think it's going to work as well as they think it is.
No, I get what they're thinking, but I don't really understand how you could play a championship game and have it not be the team.
If anything, now you're confusing the committee over which team is the worthy one. I mean, if you're saying that the champ is the one that wins the regular season standings title, then that second exhibition game matters not. It only serves to, I guess, offer one extra win to that second place team. So maybe that's what their thought is that the second place team who gets now an extra game and an extra win has a better chance of getting in. because their first team is already in via the bye and via the regular season championship?
Well, but what if the committee comes back and says, well, we don't recognize your team did not win the league. It finished first, but it didn't win the league because it didn't win the championship game. And now they're saying, well, you're not auto.
Well, wouldn't it be up to the league to say, no, our representative is the team that finished first in the regular season.
But we've got this other in the game.
Yeah, I don't see how the committee goes for this. I mean, it seems like you're just trying to use smoke and mirrors to get an extra team in, and I doubt the powers that be are going to be duped into that.
He said another possibility is having the top four teams play on the final weekend of the regular season. First versus four, second versus three, with the winners playing the following weekend in the ACC championship game. Now that I get. But that seems counter to what you want. And it's just offering more of an opportunity for your best teams to lose. And that's what you don't want.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Hmm. Very strange. Phillips said he'll be having conversations with league head coaches on a conference call next week to get their feedback on the plan, specifically pointing to comments SMU coach Rhett Lashley made leading up to the game, which he indicated the Mustangs might be better off not playing to protect its spot in the college football playoff.
And that nearly would have been the case. I mean, it wasn't the case, but because of what happened in the ACC championship, that's why they said what they said. Because they did lose, and if they lost big, they would not have made it, and then sitting out and not playing the extra game would have benefited them.
Phillips' quote is, "The conference championship games are important as long as we make them important, right? Do you play two versus three? You go through the regular season, and whoever wins the regular season, just park them to the side, and then you play the second-place team versus the third-place team in your championship game, so you have a regular season champion, and then you have a conference tournament or postseason champion." So it's a bit like college basketball in that way, where you have the regular season champ, and then you have the tournament champ that could be two separate teams.
Right.
He said, "I have alluded to this in some of our every other week AD calls, and these are some of the things moving forward we want to recap of the regular season, postseason, and what do you think moving forward?" So that will be next month in Charlotte when they have ACC winter meetings. And that will be a topic amongst those in the ACC.
I'd be really curious to know how the committee would hypothetically react to that. If they're saying, okay, you still got to pick your one champion. Who is it?
Well, don't you
think that's what it comes down to, right?
Well, don't you think the playoff committee will, and it may not be this year, but it'll be next year, two years. Well, actually just one more season when they get the new deal. Don't you think they're probably going to do away with conference championship games? They are, right?
Probably.
Yeah. So it doesn't even matter.
I mean, I never know anymore what these idiots are going to do.
I know. You could see them holding on to them because they make money.
Like, yeah, I mean, the thing is people don't really attend them that well because you don't find out to the last minute that your team's in. And then now with the playoff, people are kind of saving reserves for being able to go to those games later. And so I think it has lost some of its luster. And then on top of it, now it seems like you're just opening yourself up as an opportunity to slide further down a playoff ranking potentially by playing in that game. So logically it does make sense to just get rid of them. But at the same time, it's been a part of college football's fabric and tradition. And we know how we like to hate to let go of that.
But I think this is the first step in conferences just going away. Because if you don't have a true conference champion, because you play imbalanced schedules anyway, so whoever you crown via tiebreaker, just like a NFL team winning a division, I mean, it really doesn't even matter that they're in a conference. So now you get into the whole thing of, well, let's just all play each other. We don't have to play a conference schedule.
Why don't we just do our own thing?
Yeah, and we'll just do it. Exactly. Yeah. So it's all headed that way. All right, Joey Harrington coming up next. We'll find out about him. I want to talk to him about turnovers. We were talking about this a lot this week because of five turnovers in the Detroit game, Lamar Jackson, Mark Andrews. Why are some teams more adept than others at holding on to the ball? What is with that? What's the deal with that? That's next with our friend Joey Harrington. But first, Buck with Sports Center.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how.
Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton sheets from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with sheets that feel breathable to sleep in. You'll experience the purest softness on night one and feel your sheets get even softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first set of sheets at BollAndBranch.com with code Odyssey. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
All right, just three football games remain. Well, three meaningful football games remain for Football Friday with Joey Harrington. Does that make you sports sad?
Well, I'm confused what the non-meaningful football games would be.
Well, isn't there like a Pro Bowl or a college all-star game or something?
Oh, yeah. But I don't even think that's a – is the Pro Bowl a football game anymore?
Now that you mention it, I don't think it is. I think it's a skills thing, but who cares?
Yeah, I thought it was like a dance competition and like trampoline and like charades and like they play. Don't they play categories? I think that's what they do now.
It's so bad that they don't even play it anymore. That's how bad it is.
Which I get. Like seeing Sean Taylor like lay out that kicker. Was it Ed Reed? It was.
No, I think it was Sean Taylor. And it
like
might have been a punter.
That type of stuff. A punter. Okay, whoever it was. My point is, when we're talking about play, so these are the best of the best, right? Okay, I'll back it up. Who was the running back from New England who tore his ACL in the sand football game around, was it at the Pro Bowl?
Oh, gosh. The only running back I remember from New England, which is sad, but the only one I remember is LeGarrette Blount, and it wasn't him.
I'm going to come up with it during the break. Anyway, point is, when you're looking at potentially losing millions of dollars if you get hurt in a meaningless game, yeah, I wouldn't really want to play either.
Yeah, no, I get it. It's the nature of the sport. Hey, so today, here, I'm going to look this up real quick. Today I would like to talk to you about turnovers. How do you feel about that?
Apple or cinnamon?
I'd prefer a cinnamon, but I could be talked into apple. Was it Robert Edwards?
Yes.
Yeah. Pro Bowl. Yeah, yep. Robert Edwards tore his ACL, MCL, and PCL, and partially tore his LCL in the Pro Bowl.
Not good.
But it was like a sand. It was like, it was before the Pro Bowl. It was like a flag game in the sand.
Is that, that Hawaii? Yeah, that, like that old Dan Patrick DirecTV thing that they used to do? Or was that before?
Oh, my God.
That used to be before, like, the Super Bowl, I thought. I don't know.
Or maybe before the Super Bowl. Whatever it was. Yeah, it was catastrophic, and he was never the same.
That's rough. Yeah, so the turnover thing, you know, it's sparked by Lamar Jackson and Mark Andrews, and to some extent, Detroit turning it over five times.
I would say Jared Goff more yeah. would spark it for me.
Well, I mean, I think the difference being Detroit gave up 45 points. Now, some of that was because of the turnovers, but I really feel like the Ravens lost because of the turnovers. I mean, they beat themselves, otherwise they win that game. That's how I feel about it. That may not be true, but I just want to know, from a guy who played, you have been in the fire. What are the key characteristics of teams, or maybe you just want to keep it to quarterbacks, who take care of the football and are good at taking care of the football? What do they have?
Boy. I don't know. Because I never lived, like, I lived in this world where I cut it loose as a rookie, right? And I don't know the numbers, but let's say I threw 12 touchdowns and 17 interceptions, right? And so the conversation I always had with the coaches was, all right, you know, you got to limit the turnovers, you got to limit the turnovers. If you don't have it, check it down. If you don't have it, check it down. Well, what that turned into for me was this ultra-conservative, like, scared style of football.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You know, I would, it got to the point where I would take the snap, take my drop, take a quick peek at down the field, and then I'd just like, oh, throw it to the running back. Throw it to the running back, right? Which then, you never move the ball and you don't score any points. Like, what do quarterbacks have? They don't care, right? It's this, or I should say maybe it's this ultra confidence that I can put balls into tight windows and I can also determine when that window is just a little bit too tight.
Mm. Yeah,
like that was the thing for me, like, because there's this fine line between, you know, I remember plenty of times being in the film room after games, and the coach would say, you got to cut that loose. Like, there's the window. It's open. It's closed. But you got to cut it loose. And I'm saying to myself, but the last time that window came up, you told me not to throw it and to check it down. Like, mm-hmm. there's this really thin tightrope that you have to walk, especially as a young quarterback, which is why I was so impressed to see what Bo Nix did as a rookie. Well, God, I mean, for Jaden Daniels, for that man, like there are so many young quarterbacks who possess that ability to walk the tightrope. I don't know, and I think part of why I don't know is because I didn't have it.
Well, take us inside. I mean, you play on multiple teams. Take us inside how coaches emphasize caring for the ball. I mean, is it simply, hey, we got to limit the turnovers? Or are some coaching staffs, because it does seem like Kansas City is great at this, are some coaching staffs better at coaching against turnovers than others? It's such a slippery thing, but yet it manifests itself. It's so important, you know, and I just wonder behind the scenes how it's emphasized and what kind of impact that emphasis has, or if it's just all luck. I don't.
Is it luck? No, but it's this really unique combination of
confidence from your quarterback. And from confidence comes decisiveness. Decisiveness to know when to cut it into the tight window and when to check it down. But that also comes from a confidence knowing that if I do make a mistake, I'm not going to get benched because my coach has given me some leeway. My coach believes in me. My coach, right? Like, it's this really... You say Kansas City does a nice job of coaching it. Well, I would say that Patrick Mahomes does a nice job of doing it. And therefore, you know, by virtue of that, you say, well, one of the coaches, you know, at Kansas City are really good at it.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know that it's.
Yeah. So that was my question. I mean, it really does come back to the guys who have the ball all the time, just being good at it.
Yeah. And that comes down to confidence.
Yeah.
It really does. Like that. That's the difference between throwing it into a tight window and having a completion versus having an interception or that turnover is seeing it, knowing it, pulling the trigger.
Yeah. Well, the reason
we talk about it all the time, just like that hesitation, and you don't hesitate because you're confident in yourself, because you've been coached, because you know that you have the support of your coaches, because like there's all these things that go into it. But in the end, it's the confidence to make the decision in that split second and say go or no go.
Yeah. Yeah. That's funny. Bringing it back to Lamar Jackson, who kind of spearheaded the whole conversation. You know, he's a guy who has had a few turnover blunders in the past. Well, he comes into this playoff saying, hey, I just got to let her rip. Just like you're saying, he has the confidence. He's like, I just got to, you know, I'm not going to play tight. I'm just going to go for it. This is how we win. Well, he gets into the biggest game and turns it over twice. He turns it over twice. The one interception wasn't really his fault. But right. The fumble was almost catastrophic. So there's a confident guy, but maybe we're finding out that Lamar Jackson is a Brett Favre type of guy that really doesn't have that discerning ability quite like a Patrick Mahomes or, you know, I would say Jalen Hurts has it, and I would say that Josh Allen now has it. Maybe Lamar doesn't have it. Fair?
I would counter with maybe Lamar just threw an interception in a playoff game.
But he's done this multiple times now. I mean, Josh Allen is a great example gotten better.
Are you saying because Josh Allen has changed his ways?
He's gotten better at it. I don't know what happened, but somebody emphasized it to him, or he's just matured, or something changed with Josh Allen because he used to be a turnover machine. As good as he is, anymore.
But if you're using Lamar's last game, you just said it that you could the interception wasn't really his fault.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't consider fumble in a lot of cases isn't a decision making.
Yeah, it kind of was though. You got to go down.
Yeah, that's why I hesitated, right? But in most cases, right? I'm talking about an interception. Like I don't know. To me, this just felt like sometimes the ball bounced the other way.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, it really did. I have the opposite feeling in that I felt like this was just some bad bounces for Lamar. Sometimes it happens versus the Lions, who you give the ball up five times, you're going to give the other two, you know, yeah, they scored. What was the final score? They scored 35 points or 38 points.
It's 45, you know, but 31, you give the other
team. Well, they scored 30. Detroit scored 31.
Yeah.
Point is, the Washington scored 45. Of course, you're going to score 45 if you give up the ball, if you give them five more opportunities.
Yeah, Goff. Yes. If you're comparing Goff to Jackson this past weekend, Goff was just way worse. I mean, then, okay, so how do you explain that then? I mean, because he hasn't been doing that all year, and all of a sudden he turns it over right and left. Is that
sometimes
just bad?
Sometimes it happens. I don't think that's the thing is, like, people want to speak in absolutes.
Yeah.
People want to say Josh Allen is a turnover machine. You know, Josh Allen can't beat Kansas City. Josh Allen, like, well, just because you haven't doesn't mean that you can't. Right? And the moment that, let me think, you know, the moment that Peyton Manning, you know, won a Super Bowl, it became the moment that Peyton Manning no longer couldn't win a Super Bowl, right? It's this, the moment that Lamar Jackson goes out next year and wins the playoff game becomes the moment that Lamar Jackson no longer can't win the playoff game. Like that's the thing for me is, like, until we get to the end of these guys' careers and look back and say, here's the body of work you put together, and now I'm going to make a judgment based on that, as opposed to saying, hey, we're in year, what, 6 in Lamar's career?
Year 6? Yeah, 7, 6 or 7, 8?
Whatever. We're maybe, you know, let's call it a 14-year career. Maybe we're halfway through it. If Lamar Jackson over the next 7 years wins 2 Super Bowls, you think we're going to be sitting there at the end and say, yeah, but you know what? In year 5, he had that interception against Buffalo. God, yeah, sure, he won 2 Super Bowls, but he really couldn't do it. Like, that's the thing is, like, I don't buy into the narrative of just because they haven't done it doesn't mean they can't do it.
Or because they're always doing something, have a tendency for one thing, doesn't mean that they can't shed that. Well, it is seventh year for Lamar Jackson. And, you know, it's not the answer I expected, but it's, I mean, I value your opinion on this. I mean, that's why I asked you, was, you know, because it sure does seem like, from a fan's perspective, that turnovers, well, I mean, we all know that games are won and lost. Like, if you want one thing, if you want to reduce it to one stat, who wins and loses, it's turnover margin. And then you get into these huge games and you get these great teams. I mean, that Ravens team is excellent. Couldn't ask for a better football team to be assembled, and they shoot themselves in the foot. That's maddening. And I do wonder still, like, because I think the Chiefs are really good at it. I think the Bills this year are really good at it. And the Eagles are good at it. And it's coincidental that we're going to get two of those teams in the Super Bowl. You know?
Okay. But here's another thing that we can talk about. I was going to say, had Mark Andrews caught that, or conversely, and it's not something that a whole lot of people are talking about, had Lamar Jackson thrown a better ball, would we even be talking about it right now?
I think we would, because I think the Bills would have won. You know, they would have had a minute and a half. And, I mean, I don't know.
Maybe Josh Allen would have thrown an interception.
That's right. Maybe. But they have the number. See, this is what I'm saying. Like, It's all just, they have the number one turnover ratio in football. So I wouldn't bet on that, right? I mean, there's no absolutes here. Of course, a turnover could happen. It's just that if you told me which one of those teams was going to lose the turnover margin 3-0, I would have told you the Ravens. And well, sure enough, it was the Ravens. You know, it's like, and that's why I'm trying to dig about the knack for it or the lack of a knack for it. But I think you're telling us there's nothing to it. So just, you know, big game, have a good day, and don't turn it over. Don't get unlucky. Right?
Bingo.
That's it. All right, who plays?
Yeah, don't be unlucky.
Who plays in the Super Bowl? Joey Harrington knows, and he is going to tell us next on The Fan. All right, we're back with Joey Harrington. Jason Sukinik is out at the Barrett Jackson high-end auto auction right now.
What kind of high end are we talking about?
I mean, like millions. I don't know cars all that well. I'm not a big car guy, but I think last year he said there was a car there that Trump owned and it went for millions. I don't remember what kind, but it went for millions. So it's
could I call him and ask if he could get me an Aston Martin?
Yeah, you could. I think you could.
Right.
Are you going to do that?
That was my favorite car I ever got to drive. That was...
Didn't you tell us that story in Detroit?
The V12, the Vanquish.
Nice.
I had the deal with the Jaguar dealership, and the Jaguar had electrical issues. And so they gave me an Aston Martin for 2 weeks. So I was like, oh my God.
But you're too sensible to buy it. You should go buy one. Treat yourself.
Well, see, now they're like, I think they've bottomed out, and now they're becoming like, there was a falling in price, and now I think they're becoming retro and collector's items again. So I think the price is starting to go up. I might have missed my window.
Well, Buckley can call him, and we can get him on the horn here. We can three-way, and you can see what's up for bid. Maybe we can get you a car here live on the show.
Well, you never know.
Yeah, that's a no. Who's playing in the Super Bowl? Who do you want to play in the Super Bowl?
Not Kansas City.
Are you one of these guys that's hating on Kansas City now? Doesn't want to see him win?
I'm not hating on him. I appreciate their excellence. But I just, for my own lack of boredom, I want to see somebody else in. It's like, yeah, and you know,
been there, done that.
I would like to see Buffalo. And actually, for my brother Nick's sake, I want Buffalo to win, because I don't know how or why he became like the diehard Buffalo Bills fan that he is, but it's been since like he was like 6 years old.
Really?
And as passionate as if we lived in Buffalo kind of thing. Like, that is his team. And I've always like, how did that happen? Maybe I'll ask him one time. So I'd like to see the Bills. I don't know. I don't have strong feelings for either one of the... I should say strong feelings against either Philly or Washington. Washington would be a cool story to see a rookie in it. Philadelphia, I really respect the heck out of Jalen Hurts and Saquon Barkley. I mean, that guy does, like, for the year that he had and going through everything in New York to then come to, like, I'd like to see him get a ring. You know, you say, oh, sure, Jaden Daniels is going to have plenty of opportunities. Well, you know, there's Dan Marino for you.
Yeah.
Maybe he won't. I don't know. I think I want to see Philly Buffalo.
Philly Buff. Okay. That'd be a good one. You mentioned Dan Marino. Is Lamar Jackson now the best quarterback to never win a Super Bowl? Or is it still Dan Marino? Or is it Josh Allen?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, Lamar's a two-time MVP.
Mm-hmm. About to be three. Yeah, Marino never won an MVP.
That's what I was going to say. I mean, I think it kind of... Oh, boy. I don't know.
I think he is.
It's tough to compare. I'm really having a hard time comparing this style of NFL football to... You know, even my years in the NFL, right? Like the comparison between my years and the Marino years was a lot easier, right? It was more apples to apples.
Yeah.
The way the game is structured, rules, officiated, and how it's played offensively are so completely different than Dan's time. It's a tough comparison to make, but it's hard to say that you're the two, maybe three-time MVP, and without a Super Bowl, that's probably has to be right up there.
Isn't it wild how quickly it's turned? Like, I mean, you played, and then we were around for the whole, you know, Donovan McNabb and all the, you know, the black quarterback thing, and now all of a sudden, and it seems relatively quick. It hasn't been. It's been several years in the making, but we're now to a point where there really aren't many statue quarterbacks left. Guys that aren't at least,
if you're not mobile,
yeah, you're done.
Yeah.
You don't want you. Like Jared Goff is one we mentioned the other day. Who else did we have? Buckley?
Well, even a guy like Justin Herbert, who has the you know, Drew Bledsoe yes. size. Yeah. That dude puts on, you know, he gets out of the pocket and he's running 4.58.
Yes.
Like there's, it's not, Stafford,
Burrow, Goff. I mean,
ironically, he's quick and he's somewhat elusive, but he's not. If I told you that this guy was shifty, but not fast.
That's Mahomes.
Who, yes.
Yeah, he's not fast.
Mahomes is a slug.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I think the guy ran, like, check me on this, but I want to say he was like a 4.9. He was like me at the combine.
There might be some skin there.
What was your time?
God, I was 4.88.
That's pretty good.
4.89, something like that.
He was
like,
4.8.
Mm-hmm.
Patrick Mahomes.
He ran 4.8 flat.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And you ran, Googling. You ran at 4.9.
Nope.
Pokey.
I'm seeing the 4.89 to 4.9 range.
Oh.
I was high 4.8s. I know that. Because I was so psyched. The moment I got under 4.9, I was like, yep, I put full George Costanza, like, and I'm out. Like, I got what I needed.
Commentary from AI tells us that this was considered impressive for a quarterback who was 6'4 and weighed 215 pounds.
Yeah. That's pretty good. But it didn't matter, did it, at those times? Did they even care about that?
Not really.
Yeah. Now it's... Well, I guess it's not everything now, but you just got to be able to, like, Knicks is a great example. Pocket guy, but he can move. You mentioned Herbert. Great, mm-hmm. great one. It's amazing. We just, you cannot be a statue. That's the thing about Goff. I like what Detroit's got going on, but man, I don't know if they get over the hump with a guy like that, because you run into one buzzsaw team that, you know, he can't elude. The offense is blown up. It's crazy.
Where are we going with this? There was some sort of...
Best quarterback to never win a Super Bowl. And we think it's got to be Lamar. Yeah.
Yeah.
You. So how much better do you feel about Oregon season now that Ohio State won it all?
Yeah, I don't care.
Yeah. Hey, do you want
some... It didn't make me feel as good as I thought it would.
Yeah. I thought you said you...
But you know, it did make me feel better.
What?
Is the fact that it snowed in Atlanta. And so my tea time, it would have been like, it was like third, the day that it didn't snow was the day that we were going to play golf. And so I wouldn't have wanted to play golf in 31 degree weather. And then everybody got stuck at the airport because of that. And then the snow is like, you know what? I missed all that. So I don't feel bad anymore.
Yeah, your trip would have sucked. That's right. It was snowing there.
My
you couldn't
trip would
golf.
Have sucked.
And Oregon would have lost to Ohio State if they made it to
Wait,
the
what?
Well, I mean, if they played again and they were in the final, don't you think? I mean, Oregon's not beating that team, are they?
Well, no, but if Joey had been at the final, Ohio State could not have been there because Oregon would have beat them.
No, I'm just saying, like, in a different tournament scenario where Oregon and Ohio State played in the final and Joey was there, you know, then in other words,
I think Ohio State played a perfect game against Oregon. I think that the way that Ohio State looked against Texas and the way that Ohio State looked against. Did they play with Notre Dame? Mm-hmm. I think they were beatable.
Yeah. Yeah, they definitely looked a lot
better. Were flawless. They were flawless against Oregon. Yeah. They absolutely dominated. But that was the peak, right? They didn't do that every single game. Right? Their floor was the way they looked against Michigan. And their ceiling was where they looked against Oregon. And they, you know, they played somewhere in that range the rest of the way.
Yeah, I think that roster, I've said it before, but I think that roster's going to hold up, man. That team was loaded. And
I
think,
don't disagree.
I think it makes Oregon's team this year look really good. I mean, that team, I think we're going to look back quite fondly on this Oregon team, even though it didn't get all the way there. That was a special unit. A lot of guys, a lot of studs. All right, sir. Mm-hmm. You have a great weekend. Enjoy the games, and we will talk to you next week.
I will.
All right, Joey Harrington, each week, courtesy of Mods PDX. The future of building is here. Should you clap when the plane lands? The answer is no, according to pilots. That's next on The Fan.